Okay, well, sorry we weren't here last time. We definitely got snowed in, and I need to apologize to you folks. I really intended on calling you, but I started my calling early, and I thought, they probably don't want to hear from me at 7:30 in the morning, and by the time a little later rolled along, I had just totally forgotten, so I apologize for not calling you. Richie says that I guess we were out of power, too, so whether or not I had managed to dig out in time to get here, I guess we wouldn't have been able to do a whole lot anyway, but praise the Lord, we're here this week. So I'm kind of catching up. On the first slide I've got here, I've got a Valentine from Jesus, so I'm going to go ahead and go backwards a week because we were a day after Valentine's Day last time. And here it is from Jesus, and he says this, "I love you, you are mine. Your name is written upon my heart. Your prayers are precious to me. Your life is in my hands. I'm always with you. I'm nearer to you than your own heart. I gave my life so that you might live forever with me. So can I ask you to be mine? Jesus." So the theme works really well. We're going to start a new series of messages on 1 John. And among the overriding themes of 1 John is love. John uses love over and over and over again, both our love towards God, our love towards one another, and God's love towards us. So we'll be getting into that as we get into the message a little bit. So the other holiday we missed was President's Day, so a belated happy President's Day to you guys. I would throw that in there. Okay. So now we're caught up on holidays. A big announcement at home today with their new child is Amanda with new baby Grace, and she was born the day before Valentine's Day, right?
The 12th,
so 2 days before Valentine's Day. And she was... fill us in, 9 pounds, 2 ounces?
2 ounces and 20.5 inches long.
20.5 inches,
and
her picture's on the back wall, looking really cute. And then, I don't know, she's kind of reminding me of Big Sister in those pictures. Is that?
The bottom corner on this side looks identical.
I was going to say, I'll bet you they're going to be little ringers for each other. That's cute. Okay, so we're going to get back into the B series this summer. Got some more in that series, but I thought we'd get into the Word a little bit more. So I'd like to get into 1 John, so if we can get the first John slide. I kind of confused Robin with a bunch of different slides. So back to the
review mission.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got to get myself turned around here. Okay. What I thought we should do, I'm going to back up a little bit further. We've got a neat opportunity coming up, and Easter is right around the corner. And so I was talking with different folks, both at the association level, Jay, and also Stan and Phil and all that. And we all agreed that Easter would be a great opportunity for us to be visible in the community here. There isn't a whole lot of places where you can jump in and get noticed. So the obvious thing we thought of was, let's do an Easter egg hunt, right? So as we started scheming and dreaming a little bit, I called Sylvia at the administration, and she says, you know, that would not be a bad idea except for the fact that I believe somebody else is already doing it. And the natural days to do it would either be the day before Easter or Saturday or Easter Sunday. We'll have better opportunity to get support from First Baptist. The youth group is really excited about helping us with this event. So what it turns out to be after it's all said and done is there is going to be an Easter egg hunt, I think sponsored essentially by the fire and police departments in Shastina. But they are, like most government kind of type agencies, zero funds and zero bodies. So they think it's wonderful that we'd like to help. So I, speaking for us, said, I think it'd be great if we could jump in and help put this event on. If you remember last time around, there was some flyers, there might be one there, with that event trailer. That event trailer will be here. We've got it reserved for that Saturday. So we'll have that, we'll have bounce house and barbecue capabilities. And so all it's going to take is elbow grease and anxious hearts to serve. So I know we're still kind of tiny but mighty here. So be thinking about what you can do on that day, particularly Saturday, the Saturday before Easter, just immediately before Easter.
Paper said the 11th.
Paper?
The wheat press, I forgot it, it's at home.
Okay, well,
I think it says the 11th.
To be clarified, well, that may be. If that's true, then, because there was another agency that was going to do one as well, I think. Some foundation, Shastina Foundation, a new group that's formed. I'm not even sure what. So anyway, to be continued, but we'll be sending around email invitations as well as phone calls. Once we get a little closer, we'll have to have some meetings to get that set up and get that put together.
Can we have flyers that we can hand out as we mingle?
We're going to do whatever it takes. I'm planning more on a mailing that'll advertise both that event and our Easter Sunday service. So we definitely want to do another mailing. So as far as handouts, yeah, we probably can do. It'd be good to have something to put in people's hands at the event for sure, even if it's just our cards. But maybe something more specific. But we don't have a whole lot of time. There's what, about maybe 6 weeks at most left before Easter. So the clock's already ticking. So that's just something there. So I thought, since that outreach capability is here, I wanted to review real quickly our mission, purpose, core values, and strategic aim statements. Don't want to spend a lot of time on it. This stuff's in writing. I believe it's on the website as well, so you can review them there as well. But just to touch base on why we're here and what we're up to, we can get the next slide. Our vision. The vision of Destination Christian Fellowship is to bring the transforming message of life and hope in Jesus Christ to the people of Lake Justina and the Shasta Valley area. Simply said, we're here to serve people. We're here to reach people for Jesus. That's our vision. The next, our mission is to demonstrate the love of God to the people of Lake Justina and the Shasta Valley area, and to invite them to join us in the rich inheritance we have through life in Jesus Christ. So, again, the opportunity for Easter presents itself as a way to jump in on our mission statement. Our purpose, go ahead and click it one more time. The purpose is to, one more, encourage you, meaning you, towards an authentic relationship and commitment to God. Connect you in relationship with other believers, that's us. Instruct you in godly living through His Word, equip you through discovery of your spiritual gifts, and involve you in life-changing ministry and mission in Lake Shastina, Shasta Valley, beyond, and to join with you as we honor God with our lives. Again, that's the purpose that drives what we're about. So again, that document, I think, is, although it's in writing, it's evolving. If you feel passionate that there's something else that we need to be about, we should pray about that too. So that's that. Our core values, what's behind our purposes and our mission and values. For one, it's to fulfill the Great Commission. That's in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Even on February 22nd, 2009, He is with us. The second thing is to follow the great commandments, and those are these. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important, love your neighbor as yourself. All the other commandments and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. So what does that mean? The core value is to simplify. We're about the love of God towards each other and towards those that don't know Him yet, and the love of God, a love of us back towards God. And the third thing is to demonstrate the great compassion. The king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then these righteous ones, will reply and say, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And again, the obvious, the follow-up, which isn't on there, is that whenever we do it to the least of those out there, to that guy on the corner with his hat open and his palm out, to the least that you can imagine, whenever we do something to bless other people, we're doing it to the Lord. So again, that's the background of what we're here for and why I believe we're supposed to take advantage of every opportunity that's out there. So let's just kind of be in prayer about our role in this Easter celebration and how we can bring God honor and glory and also bring some more people into the fellowship here. Okay, so I wanted to do that before we started into the message on John, just to kind of to get us warmed up. So as we go to the Gospel of John, the 1 John, which is one of John's writings, same John, different writing. This is the book of 1 John. And the main thing, the reason, the point of why John wrote this was about walking with God, teaching us to walk with God. And so John's letters, I guess, just to kind of give some background, are probably the last ones that were written in the New Testament. John was the last surviving disciple that we know of. He's the only one, as far as we know, basically by history and tradition, that died a natural death. The rest were all martyred in some fashion or other. At this point in time when John wrote these letters, he was pastoring in Ephesus. And at least that's what's strongly believed by the evidence. And so he's writing this as a pastor writing to his flock. His letters are warm, they're pastoral. They call Christians to live a simple life of love and obedience to God. And his letters are different, if you will, from Paul's. If you look at, as we go along to this, you'll see that they're not as tightly organized. They're not all factual and trying to teach doctrine. He's really teaching from the heart. He'll kind of go back and forth a little bit from different themes, and we'll discover some of that as we go along through these letters. So basically, again, John reminds us of the basic truths that shape our lives and our relationship with the Lord. And also in this letter, his purpose, I think, in addition to just Christian basics, is also to warn about false teachings. There are false teachers out there. There are people that teach things other than what Jesus taught. And so he appeals to his foundation, if you will, as an eyewitness to Jesus. He's saying in his letter, follow me because I'm an eyewitness to Jesus, and this is what he said, and this is what he's about. So with all that said, the overall outline of this particular chapter is, the first of all, we're being invited to joy. The Christian life is not supposed to be boring. A lot of people keep away from the church because they think, I know there's probably some truth in what those Christians are doing, but I've got too many more fun things I want to do with my life before I become a Christian. An absolute opposite is true, is that when you're really walking with Jesus, it is a life of full joy. The next thing is that from verses 5 through about chapter 2, verse 2, he's talking about walking in the light and what that means to walk in the light, how to know if you're walking in the light. And then the next section is walking in love, and that's the third part of this letter. Walking in love, that's chapter 2 through 4. And then the last chapter is about walking by faith. So we'll uncover those things as we go along. We'll probably only get through the first two today. So again, the next slide is going to talk about the invitation to joy. So if you have your Bible out, pull it out. If not, we've got it right up here, and it says this. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. I'm going to read up there because mine didn't print very well. And touched with our own hands. He is the word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. So again, he states his purpose, why he's writing it, and what he's writing about. So the invitation to joy, I got a picture of Jesus here. It's one of my favorites. I've got that at the house framed. It just, it just shows a happy Jesus. Jesus was not around sucking on lemons, if you will. He came about, he said his purpose was that you would have life and that more abundantly, not that you would have rules and more abundantly. He came to simplify the rules, to make it easier for us to have access to the Father. So in this invitation to joy in that first section, we see that basically there's a problem in verse 1. Going back to verse 1, it just says this, that if anyone sins, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. So what's an advocate? An advocate is like a lawyer. That's basically, it's a legal term. Basically, it says that, okay, we're guilty sinners. It's not a problem. We've got the best lawyer to plead our case. And not only is our lawyer perfect in that he pleads our case before the Father, but he also paid the penalty. Whenever you break a law, there's a penalty to be paid. I had a speeding ticket last year, and it cost me about $250, as I recall. There was a penalty for my sin, if you will. Well, the Bible says that the penalty for sin is death, is that the soul that sins will surely die. So Jesus came and brought not only our defense before the Father, but he also paid the penalty. So the next thing is, and I think if you click there, we should have a couple of bullet points coming up. Okay, Jesus is life itself. Let's see. Got a little problem. Okay, go ahead to the next one. Okay, the eyewitness account, and keep moving.
Your next slide is walking in the light.
What's that?
Walking in the light.
Walking in the light. That's what I need.
Okay.
I skipped ahead a little bit. Okay, so and the last slide, actually I'm down about to F on here. So actually, let's see. Well, let me go ahead and read that. 1 John 1:5-7 says this: "This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you, that God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." So there again, we have the answer, if you will. We go on to the next slide. The answer down to in under walking in the light. We talked about that God is light, and I'm sorry here. Okay, got my notes mixed up. Okay, so God is in the light. God is light. And basically, what does it say about that in verse 5? It says that God is light, there is no darkness in him at all, so we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We're not practicing the truth. So again, you know, in many other places in the Word, it admonishes us to not just be hearers. It's more than just reading your Bible. It's more than just talking a talk. It's also about being the light, as God is light. God wants us to have fellowship with him, and the only way to have true fellowship with him is to walk as his Son walked, to walk as Jesus walked, to walk in the light. So, got light, as you know, like the got milk thing. Do you have light? That's the test. And the test is basically, if we are living in the light, in verse 7, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. So again, we have to experience that life in Jesus by walking with him. I've got that picture. It's actually one of my favorites. We've got the picture in the back here. We need to get it hung up at some point. But it's a beautiful picture of just, it's actually the road to Emmaus with the disciples after the resurrection. But it just shows these two leaning in and absorbing the information from Jesus, absorbing what they can from him while they're along the walk. And I think that's really a picture of what John's talking about, is that we walk with Jesus and we let his word and his actions absorb into us so that we can be like him. And that's what the bottom of that couple of verses was, 7-10. It says, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. The blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And then verse 8, if we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. So we want to have true fellowship with God. And you know what? The bottom line is that the world recognizes false religion and false actions. They recognize hypocrites more than they recognize anything else. And that's the first thing that they call people out. Oh yeah, I'm interested in Jesus, they might say, but you know, the church is so full of hypocrites. You know, you might come back to them and say, well, come join us. But because you know what? I mean, there's no such thing as somebody who's not a hypocrite. We all, at least at some point in our life, say one thing and do another. But it's so important as Christians that we make every attempt to let the blood of Jesus cleanse us from our sin and give us that power to walk as he walked. And that's where the true power of the truth of who we are in Christ and where it comes from. So again, verse 10, if we claim we have not sinned, we're calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. So I don't know that that's an issue. Hopefully it isn't, because you know, if it is, that's something that we can settle up. We can talk privately about it. But I fully and freely admit that I am a sinner, that there's nothing in me that's righteous. The word in Romans says there's none righteous, no, not one. And so I fully subscribe to that. But the beautiful part is that because of who I am in Christ, that I can walk as a true believer and as a true son of God and have true fellowship. So that leads us up to chapter 2. And chapter 2, starting in verse 1, John says this: "My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate, there's that word again, who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, not only for our sins, but the sins of all the world. And we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. If someone claims, "I know God," but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. So that's the walking in the light part. Again, I kind of skipped around a little bit, but we're coming back through to the main idea. Again, that Jesus says that, you know, that's how people will know you're my disciples, by A, how you love one another, and how you love me. And how do you love me? You obey what I say. You follow my commandments. So it's a fairly simple truth. It's a simple message from John that we have to look at before us. Again, we talked about, you know, the reason. It's kind of a repetition of the first part. You know, he repeats basically of what this is about. But again, when something's repeated over and over again, it's because he really wants you to get it. So again, in chapter 2, verse 1a, the first part, he says, "I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin." Okay, but if anyone does sin, that's, we usually fall into that but part. If any one of us do sin, that we have, you know, Jesus Christ, who is our advocate, who pleads our case before the Father. And that's the blessing that we have. So the problem is sin. In verse 2, down to F, the answer comes in Jesus. He himself is our sacrifice. Again, we talked about he performed the perfect sacrifice. Back, the Old Testament model that was given was that, you know, when they sinned, they brought a sacrifice, something tangible of theirs. Could have been a bull, could have been a calf, could have been a goat or a sheep or a dove, could even be grain. They had different prescribed offerings. But they presented an offering to God to say, "I'm sorry, I know I blew it, I'm sorry, I transgressed your law. Here's my goodwill offering to show you that I really mean business." Well, Jesus knew that, you know, went only so far. The Old Testament, the Old Covenant, only took man so far to the doorstep of the tabernacle of God, if you will. Jesus basically tore the veil to the tabernacle open so that we could walk through as basically joint heirs, as basically adopted children, if you will. We're adopted, we're grafted in, we're Jesus' brothers and sisters through his covenant. And so again, that's our perfect answer. And the next line, I think there's one more, the real evidence, which is that last part of the passage, starting, goes basically 3-6, that we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. If someone claims, "I know God," but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar. So we can't knowingly break God's laws. Now, if we do happen to break God's laws, that's one thing. But if we knowingly break God's laws, there's a separation in fellowship. It's not that Jesus' blood doesn't cover that sin, but it is important to God and to our own spiritual growth, and in order to walk in truth, that we agree with God, that his word is the truth, and that we make our effort to obey the truth, coupled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Apart from God, we can do nothing. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, we actually can support God's laws and with our life, essentially. So again, that's the proof of the pudding, if you will. In verse 5, those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him, and that's how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. So that's the bottom line proof of the pudding, the final evidence that we are truly walking with God, is that our life looks like Jesus. Now, are we going to be perfect in that? No. Are we going to stumble and fall? Pretty much every day. But the thing that can allow us to get up and keep moving on our walk with the Lord is the fact that we know who we are in Christ, and we know that he already took care of the penalty for our sin. So it's a complicated thing, this grace that he's given us, because to the immature, it looks like an invitation to sin. Oh, well, it's okay if I sin because Jesus already paid the price, so I can sin as much as I want and say, "Jesus, forgive me," and he moves on. But that shows a heart that isn't true before God. That should not be in our heart. Our heart shouldn't say, I can cut a break with Jesus so I can go ahead and walk my own way and get forgiveness. The idea is that the fact that he paid the ultimate price, that he died for our sin, should cause us to want ever more so, even if it's just a little bit more every day, to be a little bit more like him. Walk in that forgiveness, get up, dust ourselves off when necessary, and to move forward. So to wrap it up, really the main idea, the main thing here, this is all about walking with God. Walking with God involves the first thing, which is that invitation to joy. Jesus is inviting us into a good thing, a happy thing, an exciting thing, but a challenging thing. The challenge is that this is not an easy thing. It's a joyful thing to walk with Jesus, but it's a challenge because guess what? It's going to make you different than the rest of the world around you. You're going to be walking as children in the light, and not, as it said earlier, in darkness. People that walk in darkness don't have to worry about what they look like. They can kind of do their own thing, and they don't have to worry about paying for it until, well, Judgment Day. But when we're saying we're Christians, when we put the bumper sticker on the car and the Jesus Loves You bracelet or patch on our shirt, we're saying, I'm a Christian, world, and they're watching to see if your walk is matching your talk. So that's why it's also important, so that we don't provide an inconsistent witness. Well, I think that's it for today. We'll pick it up here. We'll start in chapter 3 next time. Actually, the midway through 2. We'll finish 2 next time, and we'll go on into 3. Let's close in prayer. Father, it's a joy to walk with you and to walk with Christ. It is a challenge, though, because we know that your word says that if we continue in sin intentionally, that we're not walking in truth. So I just pray, Lord, that your truth will be revealed in us, that places in our life that need to match up with you and your word would just come into cooperation with you, Lord, that you would find willing vessels here, willing hearts, willing spirits to walk with you. And so as we do this walk, Lord, walking with you, help us to be not defeated by our own sin, but just like your disciples who fell to anger, fell to jealousy, fell to pride, but walked continuously in you and walked in the power of your spirit later on and walked triumphantly in you. Let us walk just like they did, Lord, just dusting ourselves off when necessary and walking in the full power of your spirit. We just ask that in the precious and mighty name of Jesus. Amen.